Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. I'd like now to welcome to the program Jack Lehman. He is a psychotherapist. He's a certified trainer in nonviolent communication. And there is an introduction, a free introduction, on Friday, January 6th, that's tonight, from 6:30 to 8:30 at St. John's College in the main building, the Peterson Student Center, upstairs. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Michelle.
So, nonviolent communication. We talked to somebody about it years and years ago on this program, and I'm glad we're doing another show about it. What is it?
It's a form of communication that's the goal is to connect in the heart. That's the goal of nonviolent communication. And it has to be understood, I think, with the background of what I would call the dominator model. And that's our conditioning, the conditioning we grew up in. I use a jackal, this puppet here.
He's holding hand puppets. Oh, my God, I didn't even see them. They're so cute. One is a jackal, and what's the other one, a giraffe?
Right. And giraffe is the symbol of nonviolent communication. And jackal is the conditioning that we grew up in, and specifically the conditioning that teaches us how to blame others, for example, for what we're feeling, or not even know what we're feeling.
Uh-huh.
Or the conditioning that...
So like, you're making me really mad, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So it's not really possible.
But what if you are making me really mad?
Well, I guess it's more important to really focus on do you want to stay mad? And how do you get free of being mad?
Talk more about this jackal model. And I mean, I just gave you an example, which I don't know about this stuff. You do. What does that model look like in real life? Like, where do you see it playing out?
I see it every time in my own mind when I judge somebody. If I walk in my daughter's room and I'm knee-deep in things, some of them a week old and look like they used to be food. And my mind says, lazy, or she shouldn't, or how could she? Or that's a form of moralistic judgment, and it's a form of suffering, and it's a form of violence. So in a larger context, it's a subtle form of violence. It's only happening in my head.
Right.
If I speak it out loud and to my daughter and say, you're lazy, of course, then I guess that's maybe another step in violence, a little more violent. But that's the... So we're talking about subtle violence when we say nonviolent communication, from the most subtle to the grossest violence.
So would you say that judging your daughter for being lazy because she didn't clean up her room and... fighting a war with somebody are difference
spectrum.
Of degrees rather than differences of kind?
Absolutely. It's on the same spectrum.
Wow.
One is mild and one is extreme. But they're both products of what I call the dominator model or the Tao of dominance, which is how we grew up, most of us. That's nonviolent communication is a way to get free of that conditioning.
Let's stay with that example. You want to be a good daddy, and you want to train your child to be neat, clean, orderly, pick up her room, and therefore be a productive member of society. Because if she's a slob, she's never going to get anywhere in life. Okay, let's... So how do you do...
Well,
I mean, seriously.
The fact is, I may want that, but if I... I'm not going to get it, actually. I'm not really actually going to contribute to her well-being that efficiently if I go around judging her in my mind or out loud.
Right. So how do you... have a goal because, I mean, you're not equals. You're a parent-child.
Yeah.
And so how do you, using nonviolent communication, get what you want?
Well, I don't know that that's my main goal, getting what I want. I think my main goal is telling her, communicating to her what's important to me in my desire for orderliness and cooperation. That's really what I want. And so it's more of a request. And if I think I can dominate her, and I probably could. I could say, I'm going to punish you to this extreme if you don't. And she may do some of that. She may clean it up. But really, then what am I getting? I'm not really getting the deepest need met.
But before we go to the deepest need, which I want to go to, what if instead of punishing her for not doing it, you reward her for doing it?
Same spectrum. That's the same. It's the same dynamic. It's just a different end of the spectrum. It's a different side of the coin. Basically, reward and punishment is a losing game.
So what's the alternative?
The alternative is to speak from the heart, is to really come from a place of vulnerability and expose what's alive in me. And that means what I'm feeling and what I'm needing. And my deepest need, I think, in this case, is really order and cooperation. So if I punish her or reward her into doing something, she's not really doing it to help me with my need for cooperation. She's not doing it out of a spirit of cooperation. She's doing it out of a spirit of fear. And I don't want to inculcate that into my daughter or anyone else.
Desire for reward.
Yeah, which is an external authority rather than coming from inside. What do I want to do? If she comes to me and says, yeah, I see that. I see what you're talking about. You like cooperation and you'd like me to participate in cooperating. And I say, that's meeting my need. She's really getting what's alive in me.
And so how would you communicate with her? You go into your room. It's knee deep with 2-week-old tuna fish sandwiches. And what do you say?
I say, well, I'm feeling kind of sad in this moment. I guess I felt, I felt a lot of anger in the past, but right now I'm kind of feeling sad because it's not only this room, but a few things around the house that I really would have loved to get some more cooperation from you. So would you be willing to tell me what you heard me say?
And does that work?
Yes, it works sometimes. Yeah, it does. That's a form of connection because she knows my language a bit, and it may sound strange to you. But sometimes it works. She tunes in and is willing to get real and get down with me.
We're talking about nonviolent communication. What are the origins? Because this is it's a worldwide method and training, and you can get continuing education credits for it and so on. It's totally official. How did it start?
Marshall Rosenberg is the originator of the model, and he was a psychologist. He was also involved in civil rights stuff. One of his main mentors was, his name is escaping me now, Carl Rogers.
Right.
And he was an admirer of King and Gandhi, and so the roots of it are in nonviolence, according to Gandhi and King, and those kinds of political roots. That's the start of it, really.
I can imagine that, just from the little you've said so far, that in civil rights, stopping focusing on who's the enemy or who's scaring you, whether it be black or white or whatever, like during the 1960s when there was so much conflict and so much judgment, focusing on kind of the emotional part of it and really listening to one another could be, if everyone's willing to sign up for it, really effective.
Yeah. Well, I think nonviolence was effective and is effective in general as a political strategy. I think it's very effective. It takes a lot of guts to do. When I look at some of those old films of people coming off the buses and getting banged around the head and kicked, I don't know that I would have had the fortitude to not to respond with physical violence.
Or the young people, or not so young people, in Oakland and all these other occupied places right now.
Yeah, that's, especially my background is in martial arts. That's where, and also my father suffered from PTSD from 13 months in combat, Patton's 4th Armored Division in the Second World War, and so he came home and was pretty free with his fists and his knees, and I bore the brunt of that. So I bore the brunt of his PTSD and his upbringing, which was pretty violent. And so my growing up was like, that was the dominator model in me. It was like, oh, wow, this is the way the world works. You dominate and you get what you want. So.
And then you went on to become a psychotherapist, which probably required, if I may say so, a whole bunch of healing on your part.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a long journey.
So Is this something that in your own life you turn on and off, so to speak, this method? Or do you just are you using it all the time?
I'm using it all the time. I turned it on and off, yes. I try to keep it on all the time. The problem is that my conditioning is strong, and so I'm not able to keep it on all the time. But to keep it on, and it's funny that you use that phrase, but these giraffe ears, we talk about giraffe ears, and when I have these...
He's just taken out, ladies and gentlemen, a headband, like a girl's hair or hairband with giraffe ears on it, and he's putting them on his giraffe hand puppet.
Well,
okay.
If I put these giraffe ears on...
You can't put them on right now because you have headphones
and
on.
I don't like to put them on. I look too silly. sometimes if I want to look silly, I put them on. But what it is that it's symbolism of consciousness that you're able to listen even when somebody is in your face. And so I'd love to be able to keep those ears on, but they keep falling off.
Right,
and so,
right.
And yet it's very, and when I am able to keep those ears on, life is sweet. Because if you're in my face being blaming me or dissing me or whatever, I'm pretty relaxed and in my center and breathing deeply and able to actually respond to you rather than fight with you or defend myself. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I'm thinking of a situation that I had recently. I was in the park with my dogs off the leash. There was somebody who had an aggressive dog who was on the leash who attacked my dog, and she didn't pull it off. She just let it basically try to kill my dog. So I ran off. I yelled, pull off your dog. She didn't.
Right.
I ran up. I pulled off her dog. Right. I said, and I had to yell, or I felt I had to yell, walk away from me, walk away, walk away. And she didn't walk away. And I had to yell until she understood, walk away. And I had to keep on yelling, keep walking.
Right.
Leave the park. Right. My dog is injured. Go. And I thought, you know, in those moments, you're so adrenalized and all your sort of motherly or parently instincts come out, and you're saving the life of this dog who could have died, and thank goodness didn't. He's a lot better now. It was almost like I felt like I wasn't even in control. The protective animal part of me came out, said, get out of my space.
Right.
And if she hadn't, I don't know what would have happened.
Right. Well, you might have escalated another notch in violence. And what you did to me was the protective use of force. So I'm not advocating anything different, even to the point of using extreme force. But we call that the protective use of force versus the punitive use of force, which we see in prisons and stuff, which doesn't work at all. Or with my daughter, it doesn't work, or your daughter, or whatever.
Right.
Punishment is a losing game. It doesn't work. But so that's the punitive. Yours is the protective use of force, and I'm down with that. I totally am behind that. I'm not advocating to be anything different from that. I think violence is... sometimes necessary. But how do you do that violence? Do you pick up the dog and you hate the dog? And no, you pick up the dog and you, as compassionately as you can, you keep it from hurting your dog.
Yeah.
So that's where the nonviolence comes in. Be as nonviolent as you possibly can and still protect your life or your dog's life or somebody else.
Right. Now, the assumptions of what I was reading about this nonviolent communication method, and the assumptions of it are basically that everybody has the capacity for compassion and that they enjoy being cooperative with each other and so on.
We're a cooperative species. I think that's partly how we got to be on the top of the food chain here, our ability to cooperate.
It's sort of ironic because being on the top of the food chain means you eat everybody and everything else below you.
You know, that's why I think the word nonviolent communication, nonviolent, is so important, because that's what people do. That's what beings do in this ecosystem. We eat each other. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I'm blown away by how much violence there is.
Just
staying
nature.
Alive.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, even the, you know, the Buddhist idea of not killing any living beings, it's, if you really think about it, it's utterly impossible, because every time you digest your food or your immune system works, it's killing bacteria.
Yeah.
And every time you walk, you're killing something below your feet.
So you can't avoid killing. You can't avoid violence. You can't. So you every and but people. I think one of the problems I see with people is that they don't face the killing and the violence. They kind of turn away from it and don't want to deal with it. I don't think that's helpful. I think to really look at it and to really to see how deeply ingrained that is in our ecosystem, and then to see what is my relationship with violence. How violent am I willing to be? That's an important question. Everybody has to answer it.
Have you ever had a situation where somebody was overtly aggressive and hostile toward you, and you were able to turn the situation around with nonviolent communication?
I have, yeah. I have. One comes to mind a few years back when somebody really got in my face with a lot of vehemence and anger, blaming me for not doing, I don't recall exactly what he was blaming me for, but and I actually, it took me five or six just inquiries. So are you pissed at me because you didn't get the kind of cooperation and, I don't know, help you wanted around this place? Is that what's going on? And the guy said, don't give me that psycho babble. Blah, blah, blah. And then I said, wow, so you don't want that kind of language, but I guess you want to keep talking with me. Is that what's going on with you? Yeah, man, you should have done this and done and why did... And I said, oh, and I kept just... And really, actually, it was in my center, so it wasn't hard, and the words don't really matter. See, that's the point. It's what's alive in your heart. Do you have teeth in your heart? Do you have anger in your heart? Or are you relaxed? And if you're relaxed, no matter what language you use, you're going to come across, and you have a chance of connecting with that person.
So what happened?
Well, after a few more of those exchanges, he settled down, and we got to actually talk in a civil way. And that was the
end. And did you resolve your problem?
Yeah, at least we got closer to resolving the problems. I had no idea he had these things going on in him.
Yeah.
So, and when he built up and bang, they came out all at once, which is, I find, often the case, even with myself. I hold things back instead of coming forward with them as soon as I might.
I guess one of the things that I wonder about is... Okay, you don't have anger in your heart, but if you were raised, as most of us are, in the jackal mode, and somebody gets in your face, I mean, it's hard to be. It's hard to be in your center. It's hard not to either just have a fight or flight, or want to lash out, or be defensive.
Absolutely, and that is. Anger is my default emotion, and so I do react quickly, and so and I guess it's not so much the reaction of anger, but what do you build on that? Do you let the anger get in the way, or do you actually become skillful? For me, skillful means working with my anger, and quickly establishing what it is that's driving my anger in this moment. And changing that in this moment, and by what I call self empathy. So
self empathy.
Yeah, listening to myself, so what's really going on, identifying that I've already actually taken a step away from my anger, and its talons sunk into me. The talons have kind of relaxed a bit, and I've got a little more distance from my, just from this process of listening to myself on a deeper level. What's going on here? Oh yeah, that's what's going on. Take a deep breath, and then I'm 20% back now. I'm still 80%, but I may be capable of returning to the discussion, because I've given myself some emergency self-empathy and listening to myself and finding out what's really driving this anger. And so I forgot what your question was, but about the anger and how difficult it is to not get triggered when in the face of someone else who's very angry. And that's, to me, that's a constant challenge. That's how I got into this thing so thoroughly, was when I listened to a tape by Marshall Rosenberg. Well, I must have been in 95. I was still a graduate student at Southwestern College, and someone put a tape in my hand. It was expressing and receiving anger fully. And it was about, Marshall told a story in that tape where he was working with a group of kids in a detention center, right? And a scuffle breaks out. He tries to get in the middle of it, and bang, he takes a shot in the nose, an elbow. It was He was mad as hell. He wanted to strangle that kid. But the next day, he was working with another group of kids, and same thing happened, and he gets another shot in the nose. It hurt even more, but he didn't get angry. And he's trying to figure out later on in his hotel room that night, what's going on here? I get angry here, but I don't get angry when it hurt even more. And then he snapped. Oh, he thought that what was making him angry was the blow to the nose, but it's not. It was his thinking about these two different kids. He had thinking that this kid's a pain and he's not doing his work. And this kid, he thought, was he had more openness to this kid.
For whatever reason. Yeah. And it's interesting when you see that in yourself. Like, it happens in life all the time. Two people both do something, and one of them the same thing, and you experience it as either irritating or like, well, that's just the way they are.
Exactly. And so it's me that's making me angry, not the blow to the nose.
Yeah.
And that was that blew my mind tremendously, because I had spent 50 years walking on this planet without knowing that. That's an important piece of information.
Yeah.
Taking responsibility for everything I feel, every emotion that I feel. That's the power place. If this person's pulling my chain from out here and making me angry anytime he or she wants, there's no power
in
that.
Then you're powerless. Now, we're almost out of time, but there's an introduction tonight at Friday tonight, January 6th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at St. John's College in the Peterson Student Center upstairs. And there then will be a training that people can get involved in, and they can continue and get education credits.
Yeah. On Saturday and Sunday, there will be a two-day training in the same room as we're going to have the free intro on Friday night tonight. It's a 9 to 4:30 with an hour for lunch, and people will get a very basic understanding and a basic skill set in nonviolent communication.
For more information on that, you can call 505-988-5464, and the email is girafferide@gmail.com. Or you can just show up at St. John's at 6:30. Tonight, Jack Lehman is a psychotherapist and certified trainer in nonviolent communication. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was fun.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Rob DeWalt in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us here every Friday, just about, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, New Mexico.
Happy birthday, New Mexico.
Yeah.
100 years.
100 years old today.
Happy birthday, KSFR.
That's right.
Yeah, 10 years old.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I think.
10 years old tomorrow?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we're going to do a little show next week. I'm not sure exactly
Will
when,
there be cake?
The group or the food?
The food.
Sure.
I might come in just with a cake.
Oh, okay. We can arrange that. Maybe we should do it on Friday. Anyway, speaking of the arts, what's happening?
What's happening? Well, I'm picking up Pasatiempo today. 102 pages of, you can smell it. Just smells like history. it's basically our issue of statehood, and tons of writers put a lot of work, and editors and designers, and putting this package together, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful magazine this week, and it's got everything centennial wise.
It's glossy.
It's got a glossy cover, but it's got the regular stuff too. But there's all kinds of things that are happening, and I can just dig in if you want.
Dig.
Okay. Let's see. Actual Contemporary has a show opening tonight. This is the Mobile Gallery, and it's called "The Party Is Over," which is a great post New Year. Name.
Mobile gallery means it's like a, what do you call it, a truck or a van or something?
Yeah, it's a step truck. It used to be, I believe it used to be a laundry truck back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the show's called Party Is Over. It's a sculpture by Ted Larson, who's one of my favorites. And this van / truck is going to be parked in the Rail Yard Plaza from 4 to 6 p.m. for a reception tonight. And you can visit axelart.com for van locations for this show, which is up through January 29th. Also, Santa Fe Clay has their Teapots group show, and there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And so, you know, if you got a bunch of cash for Christmas, you can go down and pick up a new teapot. Sounds but this is good. Always a really fun show. I love teapots.
I do too.
I mean, I don't drink enough tea to own a bunch of them, but I just love them.
You know, I do drink enough tea to own a bunch of them, and yet I don't.
And
so
yet you don't. Well, maybe you should
head
down there.
Our weekend plans.
Yeah. No, note to self. Get Mary Charlotte tea pot for Christmas next year. Anyway, also tonight is the New Mexico Centennial Birthday Party. Right? And there is Keep New Mexico Beautiful is hosting this event. I believe this was announced on the news shortly before this program came on today. But I'm going to remind everyone there's going to be refreshments and the Mariachi Conquistador is going to be there. This is at the State Capitol Rotunda from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today. And there's no charge for this. But there's also the Grand Centennial Ball, which is happening at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center tonight. And tickets are steep. But they include cocktail reception and dinner. And proceeds benefit the establishment of the Centennial Children's Legacy Fund, which I know absolutely nothing about.
Okay.
Well,
it has children in it. It must be good.
Yes. You can call 984-2012 to find out more information about the Centennial Ball. And in today's Pasa Tiempo, the first two pages of the calendar are a list of all the Centennial events that have been organized thus far. Now, we've received a lot of press releases in the past few weeks, like sort of updating times and dates. So make sure that you go to the Centennial website.
Yeah.
And make sure that that the times have not changed.
Right.
But as of press time, they were correct in the Pasa Tiempo.
Excellent.
And our lovely calendar editor, Pamela Beach, put those together for us.
Hey, let's take a little animal break.
Okay.
Start the year off, the new year off, right, with a kitty companion. Adopt a cat from Felines and Friends. This week's featured kitty is Socks. She's a very affectionate kitty, a little shy, loves to be with her human companion. She would do best in a quiet home, might be uncomfortable first if there were male cats due to some perhaps past traumas. Mm-hmm. But will adjust after a week or so. She's a Maine Coon mix with a long coat, brown tabby markings, and a perfect white mask on her face. For more information, you can go to fandfnm.org. You can also go to adoption events Thursday through Sunday from 1 to 4 at Teca 2 in San Busco and first Saturdays of the month from 10 to 2. And adopt a kitty. Yeah. And if you don't want to adopt a kitty, adopt a puppy from the animal shelter or
yes.
from Española or one of those places.
Or a bunny.
Or a bunny.
Or a bunny.
My dog is called Honey Bunny.
Oh,
so
really?
She's both a dog and a bunny.
I call someone Honey Bunny, but that's a completely different story.
Okay, well, we won't go there right now.
Okay. Do you know what is also who's having a birthday this weekend?
Who?
Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Elvis would have been 77 on Sunday, January 8th. And in honor of the king, make sure I get this band's name right. Robaloo and the Santa Fe 2. It's going to be a smoke and rockabilly show at the Cowgirl Barbecue at 7 p.m. on Sunday, January 8th. You know, Elvis came through New Mexico in 1955 and performed at the high school in Roswell, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. He did a Valentine's Day show at North Junior High School Auditorium in Roswell and then went back to Texas to do some more shows. So,
my friend's dad is a history teacher and had Elvis in class in Mississippi.
Really?
Said he was not the best student.
Well, you know what? A lot of great musicians are not the best students.
I know.
I know from experience. Also, though, they do look young for centenarians, but the Whiffenpoofs is America's oldest a cappella collegiate singing group. It was founded at Yale University in 1909. And let's see, the ensemble is 14 male undergrads, perform 200 concerts every year, and they are performing at the United Church of Santa Fe at 7 p.m. on Monday, January 9th. And then they'll also be at the Sims Center at Albuquerque Academy on Tuesday, January 10th. If you go to whiffenpoofs.com.
Whiffenpoofs.
Whiffenpoofs. WHIFFENPOOFS.com.
Yep.
You can find out more information on tickets and all that other good stuff.
And I'll tell you what, people who have been Whiffenpoofs even 50 years ago, they go to all their reunions, their college reunions, they go to all their Whiffenpoof reunions, and they sing. And I once saw a stage with four generations of Whiffenpoofs all singing in a cappella harmony.
That's a lot of Whiffenpoofs.
They weren't all there. They weren't all alive.
That's a Whiffenpoof whopper.
It's a Whiffenpoofapalooza. Moving right along. Outside the Law, Stories from Guantanamo, is a film by Andy Worthington, which is screening at the CCA on Monday at 7 in the evening. And I'm going to be doing an interview with Andy Worthington on Monday on this program. It's a really important movie, and as I was watching it, it is every American's duty to see this movie and see the dark side of our country and actually know what was going on and what is and was going on. And it's very well done. So check it out Monday, 7 o'clock, and it's sponsored by Amnesty International of Santa Fe.
What is it called again?
It's called Outside the Law, Stories from Guantanamo.
Ah, that actually sounds good. It sounds harrowing, but it sounds good.
It's, what's really good about it is that the people who are speaking are people who were there, but they're not there anymore. They're reunited with their families. They are in some kind of process of healing and recovery from the experiences they had. Mm-hmm. And so even though, some people were broken for life, some people are still there, some people are obviously, most of the people weren't interviewed for this film, but there's a sense of survival.
So there's something positive.
I think the positive thing is for you and me and everybody else to know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. However painful it may be. Shoes for the Santo Niño. This children's opera based on a book by Peggy Pond Church. This is going to have its Santa Fe premiere on tonight at 1 p.m. or no, yeah, Friday at 1 p.m. at the Lenzick Center for Performing Arts, and at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Saturday, January 7th, also at the Lenzick. And it's a 35-minute opera, and it's presented by Santa Fe Opera and the University of New Mexico. Tickets are free, but you should call 988-1234 and find out how to get a hold of one.
Excellent.
Also, the Magic Flute. There's a lot of Magic Flute happening this past year.
I know.
And so now we're going into New Year with more of it. Mozart's greatest music with an easily grasped love story. The Santa Fe Concert Association offers two performances.
What love stories are not easily grasped?
Oh, I could name some. But
really?
Yeah. Okay. It's about an hour-long show, and it's sung in English, and it's at the Scottish Rite Center at 7 p.m. tonight and 2 p.m. on Sunday, January 8th. And guess what? Performances are free. But entrance is on a first-come, first-served basis. If you visit the Santa Fe, www.santafeconcerts.org, you can find out more information on this. But I believe you just sort of show up and, be in the front of the line to find a seat.
Okay.
And like I said, all kinds of great centennial events. Peter Wirth on Sunday, the Mexico State Senator presents an overview of the legislative session and election year issues, which is, kind of important.
Indeed.
And that's at 11 a.m. on Monday. On Sunday, at the Travel Bug over there on Paseo de Peralta. You can call 992-0418 to find out more information about that. But this is definitely a year to be, I think, a little more politically engaged.
It's a good year to be politically engaged,
yeah,
depending on how you look at it. But the legislative session starts, what is it, the 18th? What
day? Is it the 18th?
I can't remember. Middle of January.
Yeah.
And goes for 30 days and only 30 days. And Linda Siegel will be doing updates with us twice a week.
That's
the
what
legislative
I was
update.
Ask. Yeah. The tradition continues.
The tradition continues with the wonderful Linda Siegel.
Yay!
Now, Sunday, January 8th at 3 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, there is a free, family-friendly set by Santa Fe-based guitarist, singer, songwriter Lori Fiorentino. Her original songs feature multi-layered rhythms, a bold guitar style, and a voice that is rough and ready. And sometimes rough and ready, sometimes soft and lush as a velvet dress.
Wow.
That's what they sent me. Okay, and Monday, January 9th at 6 o'clock, Collected Works Bookstore welcomes veteran New Mexico journalist V.B. Price, reading from a discussion of his book, The Orphaned Land, New Mexico's Environment Since the Manhattan Project. And he has assembled a vast amount of information on 50 years of environmental deterioration in New Mexico, which is a microcosm of global ecological degradation. Very important subject, Monday, January 9th at 6 in the evening at Collected Works.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to mention a show that's coming up on Saturday. It's sort of a threefer. Kayla Wooldridge and the Grania Griffith Story and Alex Monasterio, three great sort of young indie musicians working in Santa Fe to kind of better the scene for the all-ages community, are performing at 7 p.m. on Saturday this Saturday, that would be tomorrow, at Warehouse 21 over there on Paseo de Peralta. There is a small cover, but go out and support local music, especially local youth musicians who tend to be doing some pretty incredible stuff lately. You can call 989-4423 or visit Warehouse 21's website, warehouse21.org, to find out about upcoming shows, and there are going to be more soon. So that's good.
Yep.
Yay. Gosh, this, you know, it's all about Centennial, but I don't want to just sort of go over all the Centennial events because...
Are there any standouts that you just can't be who you are without attending?
I don't know. I mean, the Centennial Ball is a standout just because it's a formal event. It's a fundraiser. But there's so much. It's so overwhelming. I mean, we were tearing out our hair trying to get all this stuff together and make sure it was right. And, you know, page 94, there's in the Paso Tiempo, that starts at two pages of listings of stuff that's happening. And not just happening, the stuff that's happening in Santa Fe, but all around. Like on Wednesday, January 11th, the Brain Power and Brown Bag Centennial Lecture. Right? Richard Meltzer is going to discuss political cartoons and New Mexico's struggle for statehood 1850 to 1912.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's a long tradition of some very strange political cartoons in this territory. And this is at the Jongo Community Room at the Fray Angelico Chavez History Library from noon to 12:45 on Wednesday the 11th. And there's no charge, but got to bring your own lunch. That's why they call it a brown bag lecture.
Right, right.
I'm sure you could bring a lunch box and nobody would make fun of you.
You mean if it was... Yeah, you could bring a Casper the Friendly Ghost lunch box.
Totally. Or maybe if there's a Mexico Centennial lunch box on the way. You never know.
That'd be even better.
Yeah.
Between the Lines, Culture and Cartography on the Road to Statehood is an exhibition that is happening on the fourth floor of the Roundhouse in the Governor's Gallery. It just opened, and it's going through the 4th of May. It's open from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And you can look at mfasantafe.org for more information. But it's an exhibition of maps, and I love maps. And map shows are really fun. And so
yes.
Old New Mexico maps should be a great... I haven't seen it yet, but it should be a great show.
Old New Mexico maps that at the time they were made weren't necessarily accurate.
Well, that's the great thing about maps is looking at the really inaccurate ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, and there's plenty in this territory. Trust me.
Inaccuracies in New Mexico's bureaucracy? Why? I'm shocked.
I know. But happy birthday anyway. Cowgirl at 8 p.m. on Saturday. Smooth Money Gesture. It's sort of a improv psychedelic rock band, but it's weird. They combine like calypso and like rock and roll and folk and blues and electronica and it's a hodgepodge. But it's a fun high energy show, and these guys really know how to play their instruments. That's 8 p.m. on Saturday at the Cowgirl. There is a small cover, and then last week we featured Todd and the Fox, which is sort of an electro folk duo, and they're performing again, but they're performing in Madrid on Saturday at the Mineshaft Tavern at 7 p.m. And you got to call them for the cover. They generally don't give us any of that information. So.
All right. Grand Mary's Place, Story Hours of Native American Tales at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture. It's a series of story hours for all ages in the Museum of American Indian Cults and Arts and Culture Discovery Room. And during the winter months and the cold time of the year, it's traditional to share stories, and so you can come and share in this tradition. It's happening January 8th, February 19th, and March 11th. For more information, you can call 476-1250, and that's up on Museum Hill.
Here's
so January 8th. What's
January 8th is...
That's day after tomorrow.
Yeah, Sunday. Elvis's birthday.
That's right. Indian Tales of Elvis.
There's a movie in there somewhere, I'm sure. here's a cool one for teens. Santa Fe Science Cafe for Young Thinkers is presenting a discussion called Blind Spot, The Hidden Biases of Good People. This should be an interesting discussion. It's led by a Harvard professor whose name I will completely mangle. It's from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex Thursday.
Mangle it.
Okay.
Or I'll help you mangle
Mazarin Banaji.
Okay.
Or Banahi, I'm not sure. But I apologize for mangling it either way.
You know, and I I tried to get this person on my show, and they didn't want to be on. They didn't want to have any interviews.
Really?
Yeah. It sounded like an interesting subject, so people should go.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's hidden biases are everywhere.
Hidden biases against being on the radio.
Yes. Do you want to talk movies for a second, since we seem to always forget?
Movies, yes.
Movies.
I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
I really liked it.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
It had one scene in it where I had to close my eyes.
Oh, no.
And look away.
Really?
I didn't know it was coming.
Violent?
Yeah.
Mm. But did you like it?
I loved it. And I loved it more after, I mean, when it was over, I thought about it, it stuck with me. I mean, it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
But it was a very good murder mystery. And the character of the girl with the dragon tattoo, who's this 23-year-old kind of semi, I don't know what you call her, artistic or troubled, genius computer programmer, hacker with kind of punk clothing and moves very quickly and is tough and so tough that in the revenge scene, you don't even, I mean, you're glad she's getting revenge, but it's really, really rough.
You're like, come on, girl, come on.
Yeah, you're like, you don't have to make it that bad.
Wow.
Anyway.
But worth it.
It's a very good movie. It's very well done. And apparently, according to some people who've read the book and seen the Swedish version of the movie, in that in some ways it's actually closer to the book, especially the female character.
You know, that's
and the journalist is played by Daniel Craig, who apparently in the book was a kind of out-of-shape, chain-smoking reporter. But they just couldn't, there was no way that they could make Daniel Craig play a guy who was out of shape.
Right.
Because we would have just laughed.
No, he's got the hunk gene. It's impossible. And yeah, I mean, it's I've heard it's a great film. It redeems him after making the New Mexico film Cowboys and Aliens, which was kind of a disaster.
Was it?
Yeah, it was named among the top 10 worst films of 2011 by many publications and critics.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's okay. Mr. Craig can do very little wrong. As an actor right now, so.
He was on Colbert the other night.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does he still have an English accent? I don't watch that much TV anymore.
I think so, yeah.
But you know what we have coming out? We have Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yes.
Which everyone is talking about. Jonathan Richards reviewed it in the Pasatiempo today and gave it a 3 chili review. And that's over at the Regal de Vargas. And then at CCA Cinematheque, we have Crazy Wisdom, right?
Yeah, I was just looking at that right now.
Please, tell me, because I know very little.
I know very little, too. I haven't seen it. Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who was called the quote-unquote bad boy of Buddhism, which is the found oxymoron of the day, fled the invasion of Tibet, studied at Oxford. He was friends with Allen Ginsberg, Joni Mitchell, and many others, and they were his followers. And he founded the Naropa Institute and Shambhala, and he... They made a movie. He married a 16-year-old disciple, and a lot of people were, I guess, skeptical about his sexual exploits, which I guess you're not supposed to do if you're a Buddhist, because sexual misconduct is strictly prohibited. But anyway, it's a movie about him, and it starts today.
It starts today at CCA Cinematheque.
Yes.
Which is a great place to see films.
It is indeed, and it's better than ever because of their renovation. And the ever brilliant and wonderful Jason Silverman, who curates all the films there.
Yes. Now, there's not a full review, but I did have a chance to watch and rate Gainsbourg, A Heroic Life, which is this great sort of surreal take on the life of Serge Gainsbourg, whose music I just sort of came into contact with a few years ago, but sort of an icon of French pop back in the 60s.
Okay.
Had a you know, horrible life. You know, lived in Nazi-occupied Paris, and then he became sort of a modest jazz musician, and then he sort of launched himself to stardom. But this is an odd biopic, and there's this sort of mini, or not mini, but I want to say sort of a fake Gainsbourg that sort of follows him around. It's this sort of puppety character.
Okay.
And and this character is played by Doug Bradley, who also portrayed Pinhead in the Hellraiser horror movies, which is a fun piece of trivia. Anyway, it's a clever story, but how accurate it is, nobody really will know. It's not rated. It's in French with subtitles, and it's at The Screen, one of my favorite places to go see films in Santa Fe.
That's another favorite place to go see films in Santa Fe.
And I gave it 3 chilies, by the way.
Excellent.
So.
Sleeping Beauty is also a movie that starts at the CCA on Friday. As we mentioned, Outside the Law Stories from Guantanamo is one day only on Monday at 7 in the evening. And also now playing Elite Squad 2, The Enemy Within, the highest grossing film in Brazil's history.
Yes.
Have you seen it? It's about it takes place in the slums of Rio.
I haven't seen it. But it's supposed to be spectacular.
Great Brazilian action film, if that is your thing. Oh, and Melancholia, and I must go see that because I just like this filmmaker so much. Lars von Trier, who made Breaking the Waves, which is one of my favorite movies ever. And haven't seen this one yet. Have you seen it? Is it good?
I haven't seen it. You know, these CDs, they come my way at work, and then they just...
They vanish?
They vanish.
Yeah, I know.
They fall into the freelance vortex. but that's awesome because they all do great reviews of these. Melancholia's got 2.5 chilies. Sleeping Beauty gets 2.5 chilies from Robert Knott.
Then Being Elmo?
And Being Elmo.
Which is still there.
Yes.
We like that
being
movie.
Being Elmo.
And Finding Joe.
Finding Joe, Being Elmo.
Which is about Joseph Campbell. God, there's a lot of movies up there. Eames the Architect and Painter, final shows. Lots and lots of good movies.
Yeah. Indeed.
And I saw the movie Take Shelter, which I thought was so bad. And it's won all these prizes and been acclaimed, and I do not understand why. I thought it was awful.
You thought it was awful? Well, it's okay to not think like everybody else. That sounded really passive aggressive, didn't it?
I couldn't tell.
It's okay not to have the opinion that's right that everybody else has that you don't.
I thought that was a good thing. And by the way, tomorrow morning right here on KSFR, Camp Love Waves neo-economist Mark Epstein will discuss where the economy is heading in 2012 and take call-in questions.
Oh, good.
That's tomorrow at 11 in the morning.
Now, I am not going to be here next week.
You aren't.
No. Tomorrow, the next week is going to be Robert Notapalooza.
Robert Notapalooza. We'll take it.
Yeah. And I'm going to miss you.
We'll miss you too, but you're going to have a nice little break.
A nice little break, yeah. I'm going to spend some time with my doggies and friends and mother and hang out.
Excellent.
And not do much. And what are you going to do?
I will be here doing the show.
Well, this weekend. I mean, are you going to go out and see some movies, put on a ball gown, and go out to... Get your centennial on.
The ball gown. I'm all fresh out of ball gowns.
You're fresh out? You can borrow mine.
Robert Knott. I mean, Rob DeWalt. I just said Robert Knott because you just said Robert Knott. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. I don't know. I haven't planned this weekend. My dog got mauled by another dog. And,
stitches and all kinds of
things? He got his stitches out. He still has to wear his cone. No, he got all that stuff out, but he still is wearing the cone of shame, that cone around your head so you can't lick your wounds. But that's coming off in a couple of days. And he is himself again. He's trying to sleep under the covers with his cone.
Is he still running into the edges of doorways with the cone?
Yeah. Yeah, there are limits to his little doggy intelligence, I guess. He can go down the stairs, but not up, for example. But he's a good dog.
You could teach him to walk backwards. He could do it. I know he could.
He figured out how to get out the dog door with that thing on, which was a feat of engineering.
Wow.
But anyway, everybody have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you at the centennial events. I'm not sure which ones I'm doing. I got to read the Pasatiempo myself. And have a safe weekend. It's supposed to be cold again.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's going to be okay, and then Sunday it could be harsh.
Yeah.
So keep your warm clothes near.
Bundle up.
Keep your pets inside.
Get your dogs ready
for
keeping you warm on the couch.
Okay. My dogs aren't allowed on the couch.
I think it's time to go. Really?
Nope.
Oh, they're good dogs.
Oh, yes.
I should take some lessons from you in good dogitude.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, everybody have a great weekend. We will see you Monday. Andy Worthington on Monday morning. And by the way, heads up, the week after that, I'm going to do a whole bunch of Martin Luther King speeches and sermons and things like that, as we've done in the past. Perhaps some new ones that you haven't heard before, we'll see. But anyway, have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday.
Happy birthday, New Mexico.
Happy birthday. Ciao.
Bye.